Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Around-the-clock showcase for new TV concepts, a new smart TV set player, and a new channel en route to premiere. That's our slate of subjects today, starting with Open Television. Executive Director Elijah McKinnon joins me next live from Johannesburg, South Africa. Sharp Home Electronics Company of America is the new entrant in smart TV sets, powered by Roku. We'll have an internet radio exclusive session with President Jim Sandusky and Senior Vice President Peter Welfold next half hour. And batting in the finale spot, Entrepreneur TV Head of Programming Brad Gage, whose service is headed for a year-end or year-starting debut. Also ahead, News Note Quickies and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network of more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour this afternoon is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell. Excuse me, that's not exactly. Online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. Sorry about that. I thought it was going to cross over with another advertiser, but we'll have that other advertiser a little later on today. A wonderful Monday afternoon to you and you, and especially you out there. And welcome once again to the program All About TV's Current and Future. We have a great 90 minutes in store for you today. A lot of very interesting new stuff coming down the pipe, and it's all coming your way. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in. And when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room in business, too. It's SimonApple04 by name. And to use it, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. As always, while the program is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions, and other people will be live with you. The Executive Director of Open Television, Elijah McKinnon, will join us live from Johannesburg, South Africa, after these news notes. The popular 1990s movie Cruel Intentions will turn to a Prime Video scripted series next year. Cast members include Sarah Catherine Hook, Zach Burgess, Kobe Clark, and Sean Patrick Thomas. Abbott Elementary and P-Valley are the best comedy and drama series winners of the 2023 African American Film Critics Awards. Other TV honorees include Mo for Best New Series, Shooting Stars as Best Original Movie, and The Best Man, The Final Chapter for Best Miniseries. That last one came from Peacock. Peacock has now surpassed 30 million customers with a month to go in 2023. NBC Universal parent Comcast announced the milepost during a UBS Global Media Conference presentation this morning. Netflix 2 miniseries Carol and the End of the World debuts December 15th. Another animated series move, Central Park was canceled by Apple TV Plus after 3 seasons. New crime-centric drama series Wild Cards will launch January 17th on the CW. It will be paired with Season 3 of Family Law. Sexy Beast, the prequel series, will come to Paramount Plus January 25th. The annual Saturn Awards, honoring achievements in science fiction, horror, and fantasy media, will present its nomination announcement Wednesday on Electric Now, that's Dean Devlin's smart TV distributed service. Saturn Awards 2024 takes place February 4th from Los Angeles. And former Disney-branded TV executive Raina Singh will become Macro Television Studios' scripted TV overseer. And that is news notes for today. 50 degrees at the top of the hour. Now joining us live in an internet radio exclusive from Johannesburg, South Africa, the co-founder and the executive director of Open Television, Elijah McKinnon. Elijah, welcome in. And hold on for 1 second. We will get him on shortly. And there we go. Elijah, welcome in.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
And what are you doing down there in Johannesburg?
I live here in Johannesburg. It's where I call home.
Well, anyway, we are delighted to have you. And let's get into Open Television. It's actually been around for a while, and in the last few years has become a round-the-clock programming service available on some smart TV sets and smart devices. What is Open Television all about?
Yeah, great question. So we started back in 2015 as a research project based out of Northwestern University in Chicago, really as a local community-based project. And over the last 8 years, we've expanded to be a nonprofit media platform. We have a streaming platform as well as media incubators that really support intersectional, diverse creators in telling their stories. Most of our content is short form, so we work predominantly in series as well as pilots, short films, and video art.
And how did you and your colleagues assemble all this content?
Yeah, I mean, it really just started with a simple question, you know, what does open television look like? I think that so much of ways in which content is developed is taboo, especially in independent spaces. And so we really focused in on Chicago, where we were, you know, began, right, our home. And over the years, I think so many people started to flock to the content that we were distributing just from our community. And we expanded nationally and we expanded globally. And now we have hundreds and hundreds of hours worth of content from around the globe that focuses in on the nuances, I think, that are found in intersectional storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard, Rick. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make a call, 646-652-2906. Elijah, when you look for pilots or for new TV series to showcase on your channel, are there certain elements you look for in terms of the type of content or the subject matter that makes it great for your showcase?
Yeah, this is a really great question. I love it. Thank you so much for asking. I think when we really look for content, the first thing that we're looking for is content that is created by or starring intersectional identities. So specifically intersectional, meaning those who are marginalized by two or more under opportunity-based communities. So looking specifically at those who are marginalized by race, gender, sexuality, class, or nationality. And beyond that, we're looking for the stories that are often untold, the things that push us to our limits and ask us to cultivate a world that is rooted more in empathy than division. So those are the baselines that we're looking for, but other than that, we're really interested in things that are genre-defying, that are experimental, that have some excitement to the cinematic form. I think those are the areas that we really look for and that we really champion over at OTV.
And it's very interesting that you use the term intersectional to describe what your service is all about. How do you define intersectional?
Yeah, so Kimberly Crenshaw is the originator of intersectionality, which is really looking at the ways in which all of our identities intersect in some particular type of way, and that those who are marginalized, right, by society because of their race, gender, sexuality, class, or disability are experiencing a specific type of marginalization, right? They are looking at the world in a very unique lens. And so for us, there's never been a platform or a distribution, there's never been a distribution platform or a network or a studio that is dedicated specifically to intersectionality. And so for us, we're looking at the ways in which, you know, it's not about just being black or queer or a gender minority, but looking at how all of these things play into creating a more nuanced and rich landscape for storytelling. And so those are the baselines for how we support artists as well as champion their stories.
Open television, which is available on some smart TV sets and smart TV devices for several years, is our opening subject this half hour on Smart TV Televised, and we are speaking with its co-founder and executive director, Elijah McKinnon. He joins us live from Johannesburg, South Africa, in an interview exclusive right here on Smart TV Televised. Signing up, I'm with you from another part of the globe, namely New York, 50 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple metro area, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Friday on Smart TV Televised, we'll introduce you to an entrepreneur who is out to become a new unscripted TV star. Her name is Trinita Horton, and she has a series called Trinita's World that will be coming out shortly on Nubian Television. It is a smart TV delivered plumbing service out of Boston, Massachusetts. We'll meet Charnita. We may meet someone from Nubian as well. That's this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Elijah, what smart TV products or bundles are now running Open TV?
Yeah, so we are available right now currently on all Android, Apple, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV applications, and we will soon be released on Samsung devices.
When people get the service, I understand there's no commercial. So is it a subscription service on demand? How do people get it? Do they get it commercial free, or do they get have to pay a monthly fee for it?
Watch our content. You can download our apps, which are all free, but we do have a subscription service. We have two memberships. One is free and is available to anyone with an email address. All you have to do is log on to one of our lovely apps and sign up. With that content, you will get access to all of our in-house programs, including our suite of educational courses called OTD Study Hall, as well as all of our programs released globally through Brave Futures Program, which is a 48-hour film competition. And all of the first episodes of our series are available via the free membership. And then behind our lovely paywall for our OTV membership, which is $4.99 a month or $40.99 here, you can get access to all of our hundreds and hundreds of hours of content.
Tell us about some of the programming that started on Open TV that has become successful elsewhere or that got their start in terms of success.
Three specific distinct stories I think that are great. One is by a lovely artist called Dwayne Perkins, who just recently released a theatrical release of his program, or his first feature film, which is titled The Blackening, which is actually in talks for hopefully a sequel. He originally started out with a series called Starving Artist, which was an amazing, beautiful series around two starving artists in Chicago. We have another artist called Sam Bailey, who is also based originally from Chicago, who has two series actually that were really successful. One was called You're So Talented, which is an amazing series that focused on a black woman navigating Chicago's improv theatrical landscape. And that actually served as the blueprint for her series Brown Girls, which went viral and ultimately sold to HBO back in, I believe, 2017. And then our final one is Karan Sunil, who is an amazing writer and artist out of Chicago as well, who has a series called Code Switch that is currently released via OTV, but is in development with Hulu and Lionsgate right now. So many, many different success stories from many different artists across the OTV landscape, but we are really happy to be able to be in a space to champion intersectional artists from around the globe.
And you showcase both scripted and unscripted series and pilots, from what I understand. Do you get inquiries from the likes of Netflix or Peacock or Max or other mega content services about let's find out about this person's work that you have on and see if we can make a development deal of some kind?
A lot of the communities and networks that we have cultivated over the last 8 years, we have many different relationships with many studios, many platforms across the industry. We actually recently just completed a pitch program in collaboration with Sundance, a long-term partner of ours, where we had a variety of different media executives from across the industry, service creative advisors to the artists in the pitch program to provide them with one live feedback on their lovely stories that they are hoping to develop, but also to introduce them to industry and get them in the door, so to speak.
Tell us more about the pitch program that you do, a pitch for possible TV series, or at least a TV series pilot? How did that work, and how does Sundance involve with it?
Sundance has been a long-term partner of ours since the launch of our fellowship, which is an annual fellowship focused in on identifying, activating, and mobilizing the next generation of storytellers, specifically intersectional. And we predominantly have done a lot of intensives with them in preparation and in service of their artist development and support initiative. But this year we decided to modify the program a bit and launch a pitch program that was attached to our fellowship. That fellowship really focused in on development this year, specifically those who were fellows and artists who were filmmakers, directors who were working on a script, specifically either a pilot or a short film. And we worked with Sundance to identify a web of creative advisors that are both coming from the OTV and Sundance ecosystem, as well as to develop a curriculum that supported the fellows in not only honing in on their scripts and storytelling and building out their world, but also preparing them to pitch live. And so the pitch composition, or pitch program as we call it, it's Pitch Please, and that was hosted on Friday, December 1st, and it was the inaugural launch of the program, which was very exciting. Over hundreds of people attended and watched live and live streamed from via our app, as well as from across the globe, and it was lovely, a lovely, lovely, lovely experience, I think, for not only us as an organization moving into the pitch space, but also for the artists who all walked away with over $30,000 in resources to push their projects further through the development pipeline.
How many artists were selected on the basis of their pitch, and what did they pitch?
Three artists that were selected. So we had Daniel Young coming from Los Angeles. We had Robert New coming from London, and we had Robert Cunningham coming from Chicago. And they each pitched their projects that they have been developing with us over the last 6 months with our fellowship. They all have a variety of different formats. So one format is Apples to Apples, which is a anthology series, a pilot for an anthology series. We have Stop, which is a short film. And we have Laurels, which is a pilot for a long format television series.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Elijah, we would love to showcase the winners of that pitch contest. So please let them know that we would love to have them on our show, including our episode this coming Friday. So please let them know. To have them get in contact with me. We would love to showcase on the program. So this is an open invite.
Open invite for Open Television. I love that. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Elijah McKinnon, the co-founder, executive director of Open Television, which is available on smart TV sets and some smart TV bundles as well. He joins us live. He is the executive director of Open TV, and he joins us live from Johannesburg, South Africa, this half hour here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So I'm wrapping up with you live from Nueva York, where it is 50 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment on our mini minutes with Elijah, make that call. The number 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. 2 weeks from today on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we will have a review of how TV has progressed in technology and content this year, what's the outlook for next year, and we'll preview the big consumer electronics mega fair CES, all that with a guest we haven't had on this program in a long time, and I'm thrilled to be with us, the one and only great observer of TV technology and AI as well, Shelley Palmer. We're getting to all of that 2 weeks from today with Shelley Palmer here, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Has there been any thought, Elijah, of hooking up with television festivals and film festivals that showcase TV pilots like Series Fest out of Denver, Catalyst out of Duluth, Minnesota, ATX, ATV out of Atlanta and Austin, Texas, and as well as places like Dancing with Films and Gina Davis' Bentonville Film Festival showcase TV pilots? Has there been any thought about doing outreach with any of those organizations?
The many different relationships with actually a lot of folks that you just mentioned. We specifically have a long-standing partnership with SiriusFest. We actually attended this year, and our head of artist development serves on a variety of different panels and as well as review, jury review processes for them. There are a couple that are actually new to me that I love hearing, but we have many different relationships. Most of our relationships right now are based primarily across genres, so it's not just series. So looking at also video art, looking at pilots, looking at short films, but we're always open. So if there are any festivals, specifically festivals that have artist development programs attached to them, we are more than happy to be in deeper, you know, conversation around the ways in which we can collaborate. Also, we have a distribution platform. So any of those festivals who are looking to distribute content, we are always accepting content to distribute and review for our distribution pipeline.
Also should include South by Southwest, Tribeca Festival here in New York, which also runs TV pilots under the Tribeca Now campaign. What about giving people that are showcased on your service opportunities or at least some guidance about how to get their shows on the air, whether it's crowdfunding, trying to get the attention of independent production, you know, television networks like yours, or whether it is to the mega content service like a Netflix or a Paramount Plus and so forth. Does Open TV doesn't do anything about that in terms of trying to get these shows financed and these pilots become series?
We take a non-extractive approach to artist development, and so what that means for us is that we really just empower our artists to do what is best for them. And so for some journeys, some of the artists are really interested in crossing into more mainstream commercial spaces, and we support them best that we can with making introductions or cultivating opportunities for them to pursue their careers through additional artist support efforts. But we don't force them, right? We really want to empower them to make the decisions that are most aligned with their careers, and seeing as we support a lot of independent artists, many of our artists are looking more predominantly to get staff in writer's rooms. They're looking to really cultivate new opportunities for credit as directors or writers. And so that's really what we focus a lot of our time on, mostly because that's what our artists are interested in. And so what our platform does, which is really great and amazing, I think is, you know, an innovative approach, is that we actually allow all of our artists to hold their intellectual property. We don't take any of that in our distribution, and so all of our distribution is, like, non-exclusive, right? And so we really empower them to take their project as far as they can, and we even support with additional secondary and tertiary development opportunities from other alternative and independent platforms, like some of them that you've already mentioned. So yeah, we provide a lot of artist support, but we really focus in on where each artist is coming from, seeing as we serve so many different artists from so many different communities.
On the flip side, Elijah, we are seeing more and more television networks either catering to African-Americans, Latinos, Asian-American, Native American, et cetera, get on, in part because of the increasing capability, capacity of smart TV sets, smart devices, multi-channel bundles. Has there been any thought about talking to the likes of a Chime TV that services Asian-Americans, or Canela Media, or Estrella TV, or Nuestra TV on this Latino side, or Red Nation, which has a Netflix-type service? We had Janelle Romero on recently, and they're looking to get into more scripted television and involving Native American indigenous artists, as well as this breakout of African-American networks that has popped up over the last year or two. Is there any effort to try to establish contact with these networks and let them know, hey, we have talent here that you might want to develop, that you might want, or shows you might want to take?
I think that we're always open, right? We are always open to receiving introductions, making contact with individuals who share values, and open to supporting the innovation of the next storytellers. I think, you know, as an independent platform, we have very limited resources and time and capacity. And so we don't spend a lot of time on outbound outreach because we are an artist support organization. So we spend a lot of time supporting and catering to our artists, which, you know, consumes a lot of our time, but it doesn't, you know, take away from the fact that we are always open to building relationships and building coalitions. So to that end, we actually serve on two, specifically OTV, on two really big or coordinated efforts around coalition building, specifically across the media landscape. And so those are both at the local and national level, in which we're trying to cultivate a pipeline where a lot of these resources are a little bit more available and that there's a more coordinated effort around the ways in which we support artists. But all of that to say, we are always open and we are very accessible on the internet for anyone who is interested in building or learning even just about the ways in which we're approaching this work.
Final question for you, Elijah. Are you starting to get proposals for shows or pilots of shows that use unique processes like artificial intelligence or interactivity, things like that? Do you see Open TV at some point, let's say, being a player in developing interactive content where the viewer can, where the artist, let's say, has choose your adventure type stories where the viewer can, using their voice or their voice remote, or body language, whatever, dictate the where the storyline goes or where the character goes? Is that something that maybe Open Television or some of its artists might be looking at doing?
I think that we're definitely open to it, and I think that our app definitely has the functionality to be able to support something like this. Our suite apps have something to be able to support something like this. We haven't received any particular or submissions or applications in our fellowship around this particular type of integration. But I know I'm a part of many different, you know, jury reviews and coalitions around virtual realities and AI and the integration of just more experimental content. And so I do foresee it being something that we can definitely be a player in. I think it would just, for us always, it just is around being able to have the knowledge to be able to support the artist who is interested in activating and bringing the concept to life.
Again, the service is called Open Television. It is available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and hopefully soon multi-channel bundles as well. For more details about the service online, go to www.wearo.tv. That stands for weareopen.tv. www.wearo.tv. Elijah McKinnon, the co-founder, executive director of Open Television, very, very much for taking time from where you are in Johannesburg, South Africa, to be with us this Monday afternoon. Congratulations on a great run with Open Television. And again, invite to the winners of your pitch contest. We'd love to have them on. And we, you know, like you, are both dedicated to showcasing what's new in television, including new artists that are out to make their mark. So I hope maybe down the road we can do some more content sharing or some more showcase, you know, artist sharing as we go along. Again, Elijah, thank you so much for being with us. And there we go. Elijah McKinnon joining us live from Johannesburg, South Africa. More tomorrow televised ahead. First, some words from Sun and Swell. In case you don't know, Sun and Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine, great line of healthy, great-tasting foods that comes to you in plastic-free, computable, or compostable packaging, like rolled oats, trail mix, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, nuts, mango, and so much more. And every item, no matter what you buy, is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients. So if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, shop Sun and Swell and get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com. And remember, when you do, use the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. It's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISED, TELEVISED, at sunandswellfoods.com. When we come back, a very special next half hour ahead, we will have a live Internet Radio exclusive interview with the president of Sharp Home Electronics, Jim Sandusky, and Senior Vice President Peter Wiebold. They are getting their company back in the TV-making game the smart TV making game with Roku as the operating system. We'll have both of them live from Montvale, New Jersey, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Together, reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. One of BTR's best shows comes your way tomorrow night. It's the Independent Music Showcase, a great showcase for independent music talent. That's the Independent Music Showcase tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR always available to you 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute Monday afternoon edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. And this half hour is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Well, those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour, sign up with you live from New York, 50 degrees and cloudy, a little bit on the gray side here in the York metro area at the bottom of the hour. More great guests coming away in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be interacting with them. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call at 646-652-2906 or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Not so long ago, Sharp was one of the top TV-making people and companies in the United States. You may remember those ads that had those beautiful television sets with great picture quality and the phrase, from sharp minds comes sharp products. In the last few years, Sharp has been absent from the U.S. TV game, and now they are back, this time as a smart TV player. Joining us live in an internet radio system from Montvale, New Jersey, the president of Sharp Home Electronics Company of America, Jim Sandusky, and senior vice president, Peter Wiegwald. Jim and Peter, welcome in. And hang on for a moment. Let's see if they are there. Jim and Peter, welcome in. Jim and Peter, are you there? All right. Hang on for 1 second. We'll see if they pop up. Let's try one more time. Jim Sandusky, Peter Wiegwald from Sharp, are you there?
Simon, can you hear?
All right. Yes. Jim, Peter, are you there? Go ahead. I just heard somebody on the line, so did our listeners. Jim and Peter, if you can hear me, it's Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Be Televised in New York. All right, hold on. I'm going to try one more time. And if not, they may have to call back in on another line. All right, let's see if they are there. Jim and Peter, can you hear me? Speak up. Who's on the line?
It appears we're still on.
Yes, we're on. We're on the air. Jim and Peter, if that's you, we're on the air.
Should we just dial back in?
All right. Okay, let's have Jim and Peter back in. And as soon as I see they're ready to go, 646-652-2906. And as soon as they dial back in, I can see they're ready to go on the air. We will get them on the air. In the meantime, while we wait for Jim and Peter, let's have a message from the folks at Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Then give Wild a try. Wild deodorant has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. I use it myself. It's absolutely wonderful. And it comes in a variety of scent and color combinations, such as jasmine and mandarin blossom, or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about, and if you want a refill, that gets delivered right to your door. Like I said, I use it regularly. It is my favorite new deodorant. Rubs on great, no problem, great odor, wonderful fragrance, and the lasts all the time and lasts really, really great. So go Wild today with a special discount, 25% off your first order when you use promo code SimonApple04, that's SimonApple04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout, and then enjoy with Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. All right, we are still waiting for our special guest from Sharp Home Electronics Company of America, President Tim Sandusky, Senior Vice President Peter Wiegwald, and as soon as I hear they're ready to go and I see them on my computer screen, we will have them on the air. If you haven't heard, Sharp, which at one point was one of the top TV set makers in the United States, is back after some time off, and now they are in the smart TV set business with Roku as their operating system. So these, and by the way, they made that announcement about half a month ago. Their sets are now available, and very interesting to hear how smart their sets are now and whether or not they will be doing things like their own multi-channel bundle, interactive television, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I believe we now have Jim Sandusky and Peter Wheatfold on the line. Jim and Peter, are you there?
We're there. How you doing, Simon? This is Peter.
Very, very fine, thank you. And thank you both for joining us from Montvale, New Jersey. Jim, let's start with you. Why is Sharp back in the TV-making business, this time as a smart TV player? Go ahead. Hang on one second. I think we may have...
Simon, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, hold on. Jim's
who's this, Jim or Peter?
No, this is Peter, but Jim's going to answer that question. Hold on one second. Here we go.
Okay, great. Okay.
Hi, Simon. Sorry there for the technical difficulties, but Peter and I are now in the same room together, so we can go forth with your question. So I heard your question about, so why get back into the television market? And, you know, you're right, as you characterized it a few minutes earlier, we've been absent from the U.S. television market for several years now, but we're happy to get back in. Actually, in many other parts of the world, we've never left the television business. You could say that television is kind of in Sharp's DNA. And so in the U.S., you know, we're, you know, we look at the television as kind of the face to the consumer, and we still enjoy very strong brand recognition as a television brand, as you talked about earlier, also in your program. So we're looking to come back, and we're looking to come back with smart televisions. And as you've also said, we have partnered with Roku, and we have Roku in two of the three lines of our television products. We have it in our OLED televisions, and we also have it in what we call our mainstream televisions in sizes from 50-inch all the way up to 75-inch. And in the case of OLED, we're pleased to partner with Roku to offer the industry's first Roku OLED television. And so with that, we bring the simplicity of the Roku system to the OLED video technology platform. And it's something that we know consumers are really going to appreciate.
Jim, one more question before we go to Peter. What made you pick Roku as the operating system? As you know, you had your choice of Roku, your choice of Amazon, Google or Google TV, Android TV, et cetera. What said to you Roku's the player?
Yeah, so for us, the reason we chose Roku for the OLED television is we wanted to bring, as I said a second ago, this what Roku is best known for in the industry among consumers, which is simplicity. So it's one that you can just pick up a Roku remote and you instantly know how to navigate between the different inputs on your television as well as all of the different streaming channels that are available on the Roku platform. So that's reason number one. And reason number two is Roku is they're like the Switzerland of streaming platforms. And what I mean by that is that there's virtually every streaming platform is available on Roku. And, you know, in times past, although not so much today, but in times past, you know, where there would be some situations where certain streaming apps were not available on either Fire TV or on Android TV, with Roku TV, that's never really been an issue because everybody wants to be on the Roku platform. It is, after all, the number one unit share in terms of smart platforms. And so we're really pleased to bring that to the OLED video and technology platform.
You have a question or comment for our guests, Jim Sandusky and Peter Wheatfold from Sharp Home Electronics Company of America, the new players on the smart TV scene. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Peter, how are you getting the word out that Sharp is back?
Well, a couple of ways. Number one, I appreciate you asking. First of all, you used a tagline that we used years ago. Our new tagline is Sharp, simply better living. And that's what consumers are looking for. They're looking for a simpler life. They want something that's better because, you know, we don't sell the cold plastic of TVs. We sell the dream of watching the football game, the NFL game, or the college game in your living room like as if you're actually there. So the way we're getting the word out is through the traditional standard deliveries of social networking and programming and forms of advertising, but also, please know, on the home consumer side, electronic side of kitchens and kitchen built-in products, we've got a huge army of dealers, consumers, lots and lots of marketplace positions with large retailers, smaller retailers. So there is an appetite for those that already have Sharp built-in kitchen appliances or our countertop microwave ovens or other products like our great air purification products that will help us to amplify our messaging. So we'll use social, we'll use advertising, we'll use marketing, and we'll also get the word out by standing and delivering in such a great meeting like this, Simon.
And how much do the sets cost?
Well, there's a variety. First of all, we have three sets, Simon. We have a good series, a better series, and a best series. And it'll range anywhere from, you know, for a 50-inch TV, anywhere from $269 all the way up to a large screen 75-inch XLED, which is quantum dot LED, you know, up to $2,700, $2,900.
Jim, we are now in an era where smart TV sets and smart TV devices are not just aggregating content or using just the operating system. They're creating channels. They're creating content, individual series. They're creating multi-channel bundles. For example, Samsung with their Samsung Plus TV or Vizio with Watch Now, LG with LG Channels, and so on and so forth. Are there any plans for Sharp to do a similar deal, to create its own multi-channel bundle or to create its own content?
Well, in our case, the short answer is no. And let me explain that, though. And that is because we are partnering with open platforms. As I said, two of our three series have Roku embedded in there as the OS, and our top series are our XLED series has Android TV. Both of those platforms, you know, have their own, you know, content aggregation, content creation channels. So I'll speak for a minute about Roku. So Roku has what's known as the Roku channel, and the Roku channel offers free to consumers who are willing to watch ads, movies from the past, original content that Roku is creating. So from that standpoint, Roku is really doing the work for us in terms of offering the Sharp customers value-added content. Again, whether that be free because they're watching ads, or even content that Roku themselves is producing also is available free to Sharp consumers, again, because it's an ad-supported business model.
Mm-hmm. Peter, in terms of interactivity, we now know that smart TV sets and smart devices, for the most part, are now all the new sets out there, and sets have been around now for several years now, have artificial intelligence software built in so that you can use your voice remote, even body language in some cases, to manipulate the set, because the artificial intelligence can have things like Alexa, Google Assistant, Siri, other audio features that allow you to use the set in all sorts of ways, from ordering products and services and that kind of thing. Now, I believe that these Sharp sets have either Alexa or Google Assistant. Is AI part of the picture?
Yes. So actually, Simon, this is Jim. Let me take that question. So the short answer is yes. We have the ability to use voice in operation of our TVs. It depends also by series. So I'll take the OLED series, for example. That has a voice button on it as part of the Roku remote control, where you can ask, you know, Roku to look up different programs and the content will be aggregated for you in terms of what you want to watch. And it is also Roku is also compatible with the Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, and even Apple's HomeKit. So those are available to consumers today.
Mm-hmm. Peter, CES, the big consumer electronics mega fair, is about a month away in Las Vegas. What plans does Sharp have to showcase what you're doing at CES?
So, Simon, so you know, and this is one of the great benefits of Sharp, we're a hugely technology company. So there are a variety of products, accessories, technology that we'll be showing at CES, anywhere from AI to VR to devices like high-speed ovens that will be on the floor at CES that we're excited about. Please remember that products make brands. Brands don't make products. It's a very important distinction. So our belief is that to prove our capabilities around TV, built-in kitchen appliances, all kinds of products that we manufacture and sell in America, we should show the technology behind and the future technologies through the technology prowess of Sharp, and that's what we'll do with CES.
And I'll just also add, you know, for the viewers, so CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, is going to be held in Las Vegas from January 9th through the 12th. So there should be a lot of media coverage, and we will have an exhibit on the show floor. And as Peter spoke about, it's going to be more of a global technology showcase for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the fact that TV sets is just one aspect of your company, you have appliances also. It raises the question of, at some point, do you see your sets becoming smart home hubs where you're able to trigger other Sharp appliances in your home or apartment through your television set? Or as, for example, Amazon Fire TV is now doing through generative AI, the ability to check your thermostat or the ability to do other things, check your home security cameras, check your front doorbell or video doorbell. Is that part of Sharp TV's future?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, which is that one of the other reasons, besides those that I've stated earlier, for getting back into the consumer U.S. TV television market is because, you know, the display is central to consumers' home. And so we have built out over the last several years an entire kitchen suite of products. So we've expanded beyond being primarily what I would call a microwave oven technology brand to where we now offer every single major appliance in the in a typical kitchen. So this is refrigerators and dishwashers and ranges and wall ovens and cooktops and range hoods, et cetera. And we have connectivity actually on a number of our kitchen appliances today, very much focused around control via Alexa voice commands. And so as we get back into the living room, the family room with consumer television, you know, our idea is to extend that connectivity from the kitchen to the family room television. And, you know, a good example of what I could be talking about, you know, sometime in the future and things that we're working on today is, you know, placing a camera in an oven, for example, and as you're, you know, cooking chicken or some other dish, when that dish is ready, it could send a signal to your television set and put a little notification on the screen that says, you know, your chicken is done, and then it could show you briefly an inside image of that chicken as it's currently in the oven. And so that type of connectivity between the kitchen and the television as kind of the central display in the home is something that we're actively working on.
How well would that chicken be displayed? In other words, if you see an image of the chicken, would it be able to show in sort of photogenic-like style, here's the way the chicken is, or maybe alert the viewer, here's what you need to do, like add salt, pepper, add oregano, add a spice or a sauce to the chicken to make it the best it can be?
Those are great ideas, Simon. You know, those are probably a number of years in the future where AI can actually sense what someone's taste preferences may be. But clearly, you know, again, by placing cameras and other sensors in our kitchen appliances, we can using AI, we can create different scenarios in which AI could make recommendations to the consumer. But I think in the near term, what's very, very feasible is what I had just kind of outlined as an example a second ago, which is, again, after the cooking time is finished, is displaying an image of the chicken as it's currently looking inside the oven.
I think the secret to all this, which is what we're working on behind the scenes, is simplicity. Consumers, as we know, don't want to read manuals. They don't want to spend a lot of time, arduous time, trying to figure these things out. It has to be really smooth, really simple, and better than their current lifestyle. So that's a huge part of it. It's not just technology for technology's sake, but also how do you make it simpler, how do you make it better, and how do you improve people's lifestyles through this kind of technology?
We're speaking with Jim Sandusky and Peter Wheatball. They are president and senior vice president, respectively, of Sharp Home Electronics Company of America, and they are the newest smart TV players with their new line of smart TV sets kicking up about half a month ago. And they're both with us live from Montvale, New Jersey, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, Internet Radio exclusive interview. And if you have a question or comment in any ways with both guests, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up at the top of the hour, our classic trivia question. We're looking to finally have a winner. It's been about 2.5 months since we've had one. 6 prizes in play, and you could be that lucky person. So stay tuned. Get your thinking caps on. That question coming your way before the top of the hour. Jim and Peter, it looks like we are now in a breakout for interactive television. For years, everybody's been talking about interactive TV, and the issues have been the technology is not friendly to consumers. Now you have artificial intelligence. You have audio services, like I mentioned before, which you can use your voice or voice remote to control. What kind of things, thoughts do both of you have in terms of making your sets able to do things like interactive advertising, sports betting, and other advanced services?
Yeah, so what I would say to that is we're really working closely with Roku and also with Google and their Android TV platform, or actually Google TV platform, to really enable those services.
I would just add to that. Simon, I would just add to that that we're always just a click away, whether it's a TV, whether, we're surrounded by glowing boxes, whether it's your mobile phone, your desktop, whether it's your television, and you're able to get to any opportunity where you can actually develop a sale or have e-commerce and so on and so forth. I think that the dream for us is someday you're watching TV and you're watching a show and there's someone's dress or someone's suit, and you lean into it with a mouse, if you will, or through voice activation, and it pops up and says, yeah, this dress is available in 19 colors. You can buy it at Macy's, you can buy it at Kohl's, you can buy it at Amazon. Click here, and by the way, if you do it in the next 10 seconds, we're going to give you $10 off. So we know about that vision, but right now, step by step, our advantage is that we have so many ways to articulate and navigate consumers through various pieces of glass. We're kind of taking advantage of the infrastructure that's out there while we're developing the future.
And by the way, Roku, we know, is working on a cooking program where if you want to order the winning dish, you can, and get it delivered to you within minutes. So we know that's – and they've got the Action ads also.
Yes.
They've been around for several months now with the likes of Walmart and others, Shopify clients. Picking them up to see what's at. Peter, have you gotten any feedback from consumers yet about how they like you back in the game and using your sets?
Well, we it's not necessarily we've gotten feedback from consumers, because we only launched in the last 3 months. So it's a little early to get the consumer feedback. But I will tell you that sales are looking very strong, very good for us. And we've really got a great channel strategy. We're not going to be over-sorted all over the world. But where we are, where we've cored down and heavied up, we're starting to see what we expected to see, which is the fact that consumers know the Sharp brand, high-quality, best-of-breed products, and have a great relationship. Consumer feedback that I have seen on our social postings is that, hey, I have a Sharp TV already, or hey, I've got a Sharp countertop microwave. And it's all been positive. They love our products. They love our way of making sure they have high-quality results if there's a issue on any of the products. But, again, it's a little early to get the consumer feedback, but the retail feedback is very strong.
Mm-hmm. Jim, do you get a sense that CES is going to be a breakout for a lot of the set makers, you're included to showcase, here's how interactive our sets can be. Here's how diverse in terms of the types of services we can offer now and in the future it can be. You also have Tele, which is the smart TV sets being offered free. People have to give them information about themselves, so that way you can have, let's say, stock quotations, sports scores, news headlines personalized for you with an interactive ad on the lower available when you click the lower right-hand corner of the screen. Is there a sense that you and the other smart TV set makers now see yourselves as maybe the television version of the iPhone or the iPad?
Yeah, you know, how I would answer that is how manufacturers display television products has definitely changed in the last 3 to 4 years. And how that change has been is been, you know, years ago it used to be about just displaying ever larger screen sizes, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100-inch televisions. But now in the last several years, I think we've moved away from that as an industry, and kind of goes to your point about, you know, how manufacturers are adding interactivity to the televisions, to where manufacturers are showing televisions almost in a lifestyle type of setting to show how the interactivity of a television can solve either consumers' pain points or whether the television can offer additional usage applications versus just being a passive display device. So that's definitely a change that has occurred in the last several years in terms of how manufacturers have displayed TVs at CES, and I would expect this coming CES in January will be no different.
Sharp TV, they are back in the ballgame, this time with smart TV sets in different size and variables, all, some of them using Roku as their operating system. If you want more details about these sets and how you can find them and buy them, here's where you go online, www.sharpusa.com. That's www.sharpusa.com. Jim Sandusky, Peter Wheatfall, thank you both very much for coming on. We deeply appreciate it. Congratulations on getting back into the TV game here in the U.S. of A., smart TV sets particularly, and all the very best of luck in making it this time around, hopefully for a very long time.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you, Simon, very much.
Good to talk to you today.
Same here, Jim and Peter. Take care. All the greatest. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Yep, you too.
Jim Sandusky and Peter Wheatfall, President, Senior Vice President at Sharp Home Electronics Company of America, joining us live from Montvale, New Jersey. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We've been offering it since near Thanksgiving, and because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we're going to keep it on up to one more week if we need be. And if you are first with the correct answer, we have 6 prizes in store for you. We have a free Uber card from AMC Networks, a free Redbox movie night courtesy of Crackle Connect, 2 wonderful music CDs, Chicago's Greatest Hits with If You Leave Me Now and Saturday in the Park and Feeling Stronger Every Day, another wonderful tune, and the Lifetime Women in Rock Collection with great performances by Linda Ronstadt, Laura Branigan, Bananarama, The Pretenders, and Mucho Mas. And we have 2 books for you. We have Running the Show, Television from the Inside, by one of our recent guests, Jeff Melvoin, the former writer and showrunner of the popular CBS series Northern Exposure, other shows as well, an Emmy Award winner. And more recently, the book by David Craig, the professor at USC, called Apocalypse Television, dealing with how the made-for-TV movie The Day After on ABC celebrated its big anniversary last month, how that changed the face of the world. And all that can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name 2 of the 3 stars of the popular NBC series from 1968-1971, The Name of the Game. Name 2 of the 3 stars on The Name of the Game. If you don't know the series, you can find episodes and the opening title with the great theme music by Jay Grusin online at YouTube or on Smart TV Sets 2. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First correct answer wins. If you're a previous winner or a guest of this program, you are not eligible. If you don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And if you listen to us on podcast same day as today, be involved. Get in. Jump in. You can win. Once again, the question, name 2 of the 3 stars on NBC's The Name of the Game. Again, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Do so today. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get in today, and all the very best. When we come back, Entrepreneur TV is our final subject of this program, and we'll be speaking with Head of Programming, Brad Gage. He comes to us next after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogsofway.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And BTR will bring you some wonderful, cool radio, Daddy Cool Radio, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. That's Daddy Cool Radio tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, Best BTR always comes your way 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon, 4th of December, 2023. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Sam, I'm with you live from New York. 49 degrees, cloudy here in the Big Apple. And this half hour is brought to you by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. Happy to have you aboard. Another great guest coming your way this half hour. So get involved. How? Pick up the phone and dial in. Here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anywhere you're catching us, country around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we have our chat room. It is for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, still in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, Blog Talk, speaker, or tune-in screen. Follow those instructions and other people in live with you. For a long time, Entrepreneur, that's a popular magazine and website that caters to entrepreneurs out to make it in any line of business, has been looking at the idea of doing their own 24/7 television network. Well, that network is about to be realized. And here to talk about it, the head of programming, Gage. Brad, good to have you with us. Welcome in.
Simon, so great to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, pleasure. Where are you calling from this Monday afternoon?
Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, my borough. Absolutely terrific. So anyway, how long has Entrepreneur looked at doing a full-time television service, and where do we stand now?
So we've been looking at starting a FAST channel and a VOD channel probably since 2021 and got really serious about it in 2022. We've had some smaller iterations of it, but we are so excited to be launching with our partner Cineverse in January. We're going to be doing our big launch. We're still finishing some beta testing, but we have our 24-hour channel, hundreds of hours of content from our flagship competition series, Elevator Pitch, which is about actually, pitching your business in an elevator to investors. And then also some documentary series, inspirational stuff, and live talks as well.
Mm-hmm. How do you want this channel to showcase the whole world of entrepreneurs?
Well, so Entrepreneur Magazine has been around since, I guess, 47 years almost at this point. And our focus is exactly in our name, the entrepreneurs. This is everything from mom and pops to, the biggest founders in the world, but definitely for the most part focusing on small to medium business owners, getting them the tools and the inspiration they need to actually succeed, because it is always such a tough thing to start a business, except for the fact is, the majority of Americans at least aspire to eventually start their own business. So that's what we want to do with our content, is inspire and provide key takeaways.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Elevator Pitch, which is one of the major attractions on this service. How is it similar or different with Shark Tank?
Absolutely. So we just actually are wrapping up our 10th season of Entrepreneur Elevator Pitch. And, it's definitely got some similarities to something like Shark Tank, where there are investors that are being pitched to and there's real money on the line. But our difference, and it keeps kind of changing, but our that show is definitely more about the characters who are the investors, the Mark Cubans of the world. And while we have incredible investors on the show, namely recently we've been having the original CEO and co-founder of Netflix, Mark Randolph, and then also Kim Parrell, who is a, serial entrepreneur. Our focus is on the entrepreneurs, is on the founders, is on their stories, and kind of cranking up the heat a little bit on the tension, and that is forcing them, before they can even get in the room to talk to any of these investors, forcing them to do a 60-second elevator pitch. And if it is not good enough within that time, there are no redos. They get sent back down the elevator and go home empty-handed.
Mm-hmm. I believe we did have a call that was going to be on the line dropped off. So if you're calling, give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And that person who is trying to call in, do so one more time, and then when I see you on the computer screen, we'll get you on. First of all, aside from Cineverse, have you talked to other multi-channel bundles or talked to smart TV sets or smart TV makers about taking the service?
We absolutely have, yeah. I think all the major players have been exposed to Entrepreneur TV, and we're in various stages of pitching to them. We are going to be first launching at the end of this month on Sling TV. Amazon Freevee and LG will be in January. And, yes, we've talked to everybody, Samsung, Pluto, Roku, Vizio. And so I think with our kind of new package and this new partnership, it's opening a lot more doors. And I think that, you know, the only difficulty I think with some of these folks in really understanding where our channel stands is category, because it's business content, it's entertainment first business content, but it's a little hard to categorize. You know, is it news? Is it just entertainment? So that's kind of the thing we've been working on finessing with a lot of these distributors.
So you've got Sling, you've got Amazon Freevee, you've got Cineverse, and who else again?
And LG. And that's our initial lineup that we're launching with, and then sure some more to come. Yeah, we've had great conversations, of course, with the types of folks like Plex and Tubi and Scripps, and so we're just trying to figure out timing and where we can slot in on some of these.
We just had Sharp, which is now back in the smart TV playing game in the last half hour, and apparently they're going to use the Roku channel as their multi-channel bundle. Has Roku come by with some thoughts?
Yeah, we're actually waiting on their final thoughts from us. I know they're kind of slowing down for the end of the year, but we got our fingers crossed on that one, because that would be huge.
And that way would, of course, also, as I said, go on the new Sharp Smart TV sets that have just started to go on sale in the last month or so. Aside from elevator pitch, what are some of the other unique formats or shows or series that your network is going to have?
Absolutely. I mean, we have three Emmy-winning shows, or maybe one Emmy-nominated and two Emmy-winning. We have the long-running series Startup that actually premiered on PBS many years ago but is still making new episodes, and that's a docuseries traveling the country almost like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, but for you know, founders and entrepreneurs checking out mom-and-pop shops across the country with host Gary Brodeau. And that's been nominated for a couple Emmys. And then we have two Emmy-winning shows, Mario Armstrong's Never Settle, which is a kind of inspirational but business topic-related live talk show. And then the CEO series, which is another docuseries mostly looking at the C-suite, less about small to medium businesses and more, you know, the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks or the owner of the app Cameo, these really big success stories that start as smaller businesses, and just digging into what really makes them tick and why they want, you know, in their sector. So we have that. We have a couple podcasts. We have, we have one featuring Mark Randolph, the co-founder and first CEO of Netflix. So we love, you know, having him in our stable. And then we also have an upcoming, you know, new seasons of Elevator Pitch, as well as an inspirational show called My Story with Rohan Brown, and even a cooking show. We have Jennifer Cohen bringing different entrepreneurs in to have a different format of a talk show while they, you know, cook in her kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, will that show feature, let's say, entrepreneurs who are now pitching things like plant-based food or plant-based products or, exotic foods or fast food chains? Let's say maybe signature fast food or vegan food or even something like a P.F. Chang or ethnic food.
I mean, I'll tell you, Sammy, I think that's a great spin on it. As far as it exists now, it's mostly been her talking with her kind of famous founder friends in the Los Angeles area and just having some fun whipping up things in the kitchen. But I definitely think, you know, that's the route you want to go as you build something a little bit bigger and better as the seasons go along.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Brad Gage, he is the head of plumbing for Entrepreneur TV, the new plumbing service that will be coming your way starting in a few weeks on Sling TV, that's on satellite, Amazon Freevee, Cineverse, the multi-channel bundle, formerly known as Cinedigm, and LG through their LG channels, and other smart TV sets and devices and bundles to come. Brad joins us live from Brooklyn, my borough, here in the Big Apple, this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Some of it also from Brooklyn, 49 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we will have an entrepreneur who is trying to become an unscripted TV personality on our show Friday. Her name is Sharnita Horton. She comes from the Southeast, and she and her husband are involved in a very, very interesting venture that they're going to showcase on Nubian Television. That's a smart TV plumbing service that comes out of Boston. It's called Sharnita's World, and we will have Sharnita and either one of the producers of the program or one of the people from Nubian on our show with her. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Since the announcement of having your service go on Cineverse, have you gotten proposals from independent producers or entrepreneurs who want to create shows for you?
Absolutely, yeah. That's a big part of what we're kind of fielding right now and figuring out kind of what our process can be, because a lot of these shows, you know, plenty of people have good ideas and we have a lot of great internal ideas as well, but in the end, who's going to pay for it, right? You know, that's kind of the biggest thing. Recently, or at least at the launch of the show, we've been working with kind of friends of the brand, folks that we have worked with on other productions or things that are owned and operated by us as a media company and a studio. And so as we move forward, we definitely have been opening up new conversations with producers that we know and some people who have made some great pitches. And so just figuring out, you know, our internal sales team, if that's working for any brands or if we can sell into it directly. But that's at the end of the day, always the rub, even with the best of ideas, is who's going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of pay for, what about advertising support? Is that coming through, and if so, from where?
Yeah, well, we have one of the great things about this partnership with Cineverse is, you know, we have this long-tested media brand, our internal sales team, all these folks who are used to kind of facilitating ads of all sorts. And so we are selling into it as well as Cineverse. And, you know, again, we are just starting, so it has not gotten sold into as of yet. I think maybe we got a little bit of our Amazon money from Elevator Pitch pouring into that. But as far as I know, right now, we are still just so new that we aren't quite getting that ramped up yet.
Do you find it more than a bit of irony that here you are, an independent network, a network about entrepreneurs, and one of your first affiliates is an independent entrepreneur, namely Cineverse, which has had great success particularly in recent years, as being a go-to place to get new networks or new services off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, their mentality really gels well with our mentality. We can be scrappy when we need to be, but also just get the job done. And I love that. I mean, that's what we're excited about with Cineverse. It's funny too, because yes, you know, they are this independent business, but you know, in our eyes, they've really blown up. They're really the go-to in our eyes for this type of relationship and to help launch a channel. And so we're trusting them. We're excited. We are kind of putting a lot of our marketing and all these other things not in their hands completely, but it's great to know that we are with folks who know how to do this, because we know how to run a magazine, a website, a media company, and my background is in the entertainment industry, but it's still, I'm sure you talk about a lot on the show, it's such a wild west that kind of having partners like this is essential for success and to actually start making money.
And speaking of the Wild West, Cineverse is working with some other networks like yours to get off the ground. One of them is actually from one of the people on Shark Tank, Desmond, FUBU, for Us by Us. It's a new network that is showcasing programming, particularly scripted programming from diverse voices, whether African-American, Latino, Asian-American, Native American, et cetera. As I mentioned, Desmond is one of the people who regularly appears on Shark Tank. So that's another network that Cineverse is out to get off the ground.
Oh, okay, yeah. What is I didn't actually know that. What's the name of, do you know the name of that network or no?
FUBU. For Us. It's a FUBU stands for Us by Us.
Oh, gotcha. It's the FUBU channel. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, no, I know FUBU. That's a huge brand. I mean, from my youth. There's FUBU all over my grade school. So that's amazing. Yeah, Damon John, he's been featured a bunch in both our podcast and our magazine and been interviewed, and he's really such a great proponent of small businesses and those types of founders. I know he's close with actually Mario Armstrong, who's a talent from our show Never Settle. So that's fantastic that they're doing that channel with Damon.
Yep, 6 degrees of separation. There you go. Brad Gage, the head of Programming Entrepreneur TV, a new service coming to a smart TV bundle or a smart TV Sarah device near you. He is our guest this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Some of them with you live from Brooklyn, New York. He is there too. And we want to hear from you in our remaining moments. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, you can catch me Wednesday mornings on Sports Grid Network, which, by the way, is also independently owned, on Sports Newswire. It's the daily Sports News Information Hour with Craig and the crew. And this coming Wednesday, I'll probably be talking, as always, the world of TV sports. We'll definitely have some things to say about what the College Football Playoff Committee did yesterday. They made what I think, personal thought, some big screw-ups, and not just with Florida State, but maybe some more, too. And we'll also talk about the new NASCAR deal involving Prime Video, TNT, as well as NBC and Fox, and much, much more. So check out Sports Newswire. I will be there, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, Amazon Freebie, and other multi-channel bundles. As you mentioned, Brad, it's become a wild, wild west because you have all these new services because of the capacity, capabilities of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. A lot of them are independent players. A lot of them are people in organizations of color. Along the way, has Entrepreneur done anything with them? Have they been featured on Elevator Pitch or on other programming?
Sorry, can you repeat that again? Like, who are you asking about in particular?
I was talking about independent television networks like yours
gotcha.
We have seen now really blossom. You know, there's like an avalanche of them out there. They're on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Many of them are networks that are owned by people of color, organizations of color. And I'm wondering if any of your shows have featured these folks.
We haven't focused too much on entertainment industry companies, production companies. The closest we got is actually in an episode we're airing on Wednesday, which is a company called Genius Academy that uses production techniques and Hollywood production techniques to create a kind of masterclass for mental health professionals, but no, we actually haven't featured folks in the FAST space. It's interesting. I think we're definitely open to it, but focusing too much on entertainment or centric brands for the show gets a little outside the bounds of what a lot of the investors are aware of, and we like to set our founders up for success. And our investors are very much into apps and startups in that area, CPGs, products, food products, things that they can sell in Target, Walmart, et cetera. So that tends to do better on the show, but we're definitely not against it.
To flip it a little bit, a number of these independent players are now getting involved in not one, but two organizations that will try to further them with ad sales, with reaching out to the public and so forth. One is the Independent Streaming Alliance, and the other is the Streaming Innovation Alliance. Have you heard from either of those organizations about getting Entrepreneur TV involved?
No, but I mean, you're educating me here, Simon. I love it. I think that we're going to reach out. We're going to check these places out because we want to do this right. We want to be allied with everybody we can, and really put our best foot forward here. We're investing a lot in this channel, and we're definitely planning on going to, you know, some of the conventions coming up, et cetera, and maybe even getting some talks. Maybe I'll do a talk here or there, but I definitely think that something like the Independent Streaming Alliance makes a lot of sense for us, so thank you.
You're welcome. Why do you think a show like Shark Tank has made it? It's now in 15th season on ABC. It appears every night now on CNBC. They can't get enough with the reruns. Why do you think a show like Shark Tank or a show like Elevator Pitch that you put together, why do you think they have hit a nerve with the public? Not just about the whole idea of being entrepreneurs, but the idea of how do you become a self-made person in the business world?
Yeah, everybody is creative in their own way and would love to be their own boss. I mean, we pull all the time, what is your reason for wanting to be an entrepreneur yourself? And it's to be your own boss. And so I think that aspect of it is very appealing to folks, but they also know there are these high pressure situations. How would you do? You know, I think that's such a huge part of most unscripted programming. I mean, we saw it when Survivor first aired, I forgot, maybe early 2000. That it's what if, it's a fantasy element. How would I do in that scenario? And it's also letting people be the judge. You know, you get to decide that pitch sucked, that pitch was amazing, I would buy that, or no one should go for that. It's playing along at home, like any game show, but the stakes are high, and I think everybody at home understands that these companies are these folks' entire lives. That's the only way that you can really be successful is to, especially the first few years, just all of your time and energy towards it. And so I think it means a lot to people to watch an entire life be kind of put on the line like that.
Final question for you, Brad. How ambitious do you believe this service is going to be? Do you see at some point, for example, maybe at least one scripted show about an entrepreneur and how they're making it or not? What about interactivity? Could that become a tool in terms of viewer involvement, viewer participation, maybe even ordering products and services, particularly if they're startups, to help them out? How ambitious do you see Entrepreneur TV going beyond the premiere?
All the above, Simon. I really believe we are entertainment first, and business takeaways a close second. We understand that this type of content, while there's the Shark Tanks of the world or the Profits, you know, that's a great show as well. You know, those are successful, but they are not as prevalent in the TV landscape. And so we understand we need to blend those two together, the entertainment with the takeaways, with the aspirational aspects. And for sure, we are represented by, you know, a Hollywood talent agency, IAG, formerly APA. We are in development on a lot of stuff. We are developing our articles into scripted and unscripted formats. We have travel shows. We have a stand-up comedy show that we're developing. So we are really broadening the horizons and the viewpoint of what business programming actually means. And interactivity, I've seen what a lot of these companies can do with it, and I don't know how well it can integrate currently into FAST channels or even VOD, but I know that's on the horizon. And, you know, on-screen widgets and everything, it just makes sense. And we're moving towards using that in some of our branded content pretty soon as well, just internally. So all of the above, absolutely.
Depending on where you are, Entrepreneur TV will launch before the end of the year or early 2024 on Sling. That's available on satellite as well as its own service. Also on Amazon Freevee, LG Channels, and Cineverse, formerly Cinedigm, the multi-channel bundle. It's hoping to get other TV services off the ground as well. For more details about what Entrepreneur TV is all about. Go to entrepreneur.com. It's entrepreneur.com. By the way, great magazine. If you've never seen Entrepreneur Magazine or their website, do check it out. It's absolutely great. Brad Gage, the head of programming at Entrepreneur TV, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on the road to getting it off the ground. All the very best for a successful launch, hopefully to get 2024 underway. And we'd love to have you back because it sounds like the ambitions are really there for this network to be something special.
Really appreciate it, Simon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Brad. And again, have a wonderful holiday season.
You as well.
Take care. Brad Gage, Entrepreneur TV, head of programming, joining us live from my favorite borough in Nueva York, Brooklyn. We'll have another classic trivia question shot for you and a final word or two after this message from the gang at BlendJet. If your blender is bulky, a pain to operate, we give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks an easy pleasure. You know, BlendJet is so portable to work up a smoothie at the office, your favorite protein booster at the gym, or a poolside margarita. It's quiet to operate and rechargeable on the go. What are you waiting for, especially this holiday season? Go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today, and be sure to use the promo code TELEVISE to get 12% off your order, plus free two-day shipping, and on top of all that, they're now in the midst of a holiday sale where the cost of BlendJet to you is lower and lower than ever. So again, use the promo code TELEVISE to get 12% off your BlendJet order, free two-day shipping, and a holiday savings to boot. Blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. All right, if you missed our classic trivia question in our last half hour, we're going to give it to you one more time. So here it is. Name two of the three stars of NBC's 1968-71 series, The Name of the Game. Again, you can get the answer on YouTube. And if you're first with the answer, six prizes come your way. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Again, if you're a previous guest or a TWT winner, you're not eligible. Don't have a winner by the end today. We'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. And before we leave you, I want to remind you, if you'd like to make a donation to the various funds raising money for emergency relief in Israel, go to ujafedny.org, jnf.org, and jewishfederations.org as well. All three are worth your support, and whatever you give, it is greatly and deeply appreciated. Thanks to all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. Remember, coming away on Friday, we will have entrepreneur turned unscripted reality person, Trinita Horton, and we may have somebody as well from Nubian TV, where this series, Trinita's World, will be going on. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, and all of our podcast affiliates. Remember, we like to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, X, or Twitter. However you get involved, we get involved back with you within 24 hours. That's our promise, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not so those of Blog Talk Radio, the streamers of this program. Andy Cho is B-Charge General Manager, Jay Sonberg, Head of Content. Website certified by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outlook. Stars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought today by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks on the go, wherever you go. By Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. And by Sun and Swell, the online grocery that offers a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and your week. Back Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and our web and podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing to you now and then, make it safe and make it great for sure. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.